Today's scripture comes from James 4, 13 through 17. Boasting about tomorrow. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Amen.
I want to go back in time just for a moment here with you. Maybe some of you are old enough to remember. There was a movie that came out in 1989. Now, some of you said, I don't remember that movie because I wasn't born yet. Sorry. 1989, there was a movie that came out. It was a sequel to a movie that came out in 1985. That first movie was called Back to the Future. Back to the Future is a wonderful story about a young man, Marty McFly, right? He's able to transport himself through this incredible time machine back to the 50s. It was from the 80s back to the 50s to interact with his parents before they were his parents. It was kind of a weird show. If you have not seen it, check it out. Pretty awesome. Anyway, a couple years later after that, there was a sequel. As all good movies that make money, you got to have a sequel because they want to make more money. And so Back to the Future 2 was about something a little bit different. There was a different twist on the story because instead of starting with this idea of starting in our present and going back and changing the past, this one begins, as Doc Brown says, Marty, you got to come. It's a mess. You got to see what happens down in the future. And it made me wonder as I thought about that, because of course, you know, there's all these things that happen in the future which impact the present, which are going to impact the past, and vice versa. All this going on, and it's a crazy time, crazy movie, a lot of fun with Doc Brown and Marty McFly. But the question it raises to me, and maybe to you, if you could know the future, would you want to? I mean, we like to think that we would like to know how things are going to turn out because we're optimistic in nature, and we think that somehow things are going to always turn out better, but we have no guarantees about that, do we? I mean, yeah, we joke about having a crystal ball. You know, all of our weather people do their 10-day forecast. It's got to be easy to be a weather person here in the Valley. Now you think about it. It's August. It's going to be hot for the next 10 days. I bet I'm right, too. You know, even Las Vegas is saying who they think is going to be the Super Bowl champion of the upcoming season that hasn't even started yet. Dave, that's not what Las Vegas is saying, okay? No, it's not the Raiders, nor is it the Niners. So all of you guys who think you know what you're talking about, clearly, because it's the Steelers, okay. Carden, you've got a friend in the back. Yes, how about that? It's going to be the Saints. Great. Okay, you know what? I guess we should write this down to see who amongst us is the next Nostradamus. Because nobody knows the future. I mean, yes, it is not the Niners, it's not the Raiders, it's not the Steelers who are favored. It is the Chiefs, by the way. Everyone knows it's the Cowboys. Is that what you're saying? Yes. Okay. Have you always liked the Cowboys, or is this part of Devin's influence this year? It's Devin's influence. You know, I wondered what he was teaching on Wednesday nights, and now I know what it was. It's the indoctrination into cowboydom. Fact is, we don't know what the future holds, do we? And that's part of what the verses are today, that as James continues on in this, he's putting out just a little reminder to us that we do not know what the future holds. We cannot see what is in the future for us. We cannot control the future and the events that will take place, even though many of us want to try to do so. But it doesn't keep us from trying. James 4, as a matter of fact, what the part that Devin read for us, sounds like it's actually a condemnation about, because we cannot know the future, we shouldn't even make plans. Did you hear that? Yet other parts of the Bible say things like how good it is, how smart it is, how wise it is to make plans. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright." This is a call for us to be able to order our life and to put things in place so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Other parts of the Bible, both Jesus and as well as through the Proverbs, talks about the importance of being a good steward of the things we have, including our time, and making plans is part of what makes us capable of moving forward. Jesus himself said that we should lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, think ahead. What we do with our present is important because it is building something for our future. And so we should live our present with an eye toward the future. Though Jesus lifted our eyes beyond tomorrow and lifted our eyes beyond next week, he lifted our eyes to eternity. But still, thinking ahead as we seek to please God today. Having reminded us, just last week we heard it in the text, having reminded us to not judge, that we are to be humble before the Lord. James here is taking us on another path. It's not so much about making plans that he is against here. It is making plans that leave God out of the mix. Hear it here. It's a humility that James is calling for. When we come to making our plans of the future, when it comes to living out our life and ordering our life, there is something very profound that often we miss. And it's that humility of listening and following after God's plans for us. Okay, so James 4, beginning at verse 13, says this. "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city." How many of you ever said this? "Hey, tomorrow, I'm going to go to this city. Or next week, I'm going to go on this trip. Or next year, we're going to plan something really big for this anniversary." How many of you have said that? Don't we all? Of course. So at first, this sounds like this is a criticism of all of us who are looking beyond our nose, looking beyond into the future. But it's not. "Now, hear this, you who say tomorrow or today, we will go into the city or that, spend a year there, carry out business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." That sounds kind of depressing. It's not intended to be depressing, though. It's intended to give us perspective that our life is but for a time. And that's important for us to hold on to. It's easy for us to think that we have just eternity to just continue going, just keep going at this way we're going, but realize that our life here on this earth is but for a time. James is trying to coach us into seeing that the things that we do in this life are important, and they're important in the now because our life here is but for a time. There's a prideful self-determination. That's how he sets us up. "You who say tomorrow or today, I'm going to go do this." There's a prideful self-determination that he is trying to eradicate here. And he's also trying to get us to see the life we have in its proper perspective. There's a lie out there that often comes and is called this, the lie of plenty of time. Folks, we fall into that naturally. The younger you are, the easier it is to fall into it. But all of us fall into it. "Because I've got plenty of time, I will put that off until another day. Because I've got plenty of time, I'll do this at another time. I'm going to have my fun now, and I'll take care of this getting it right later." How many times have I heard someone, young person usually, "I'm going to sow my wild oats now, and I'll settle down at another day." James says we don't know if we have another day. So how do we live our life with a mind toward eternity in the present? That's the challenge that he's pointing out here. It's not falling for this this lie that says, don't worry about it, you can always do it another time. When it comes to getting our life right with God, when it comes to getting our direction in life on the right path, it's not put that off until another day. It's get your heart right with Jesus now. It is begin to get your life ordered in the present. It is, yes, you can begin to make plans for the future, but let's keep God's plans for you in mind as we begin to set those plans. Rather than just going at it and saying, hey, these are my plans, God bless them, please. Say, God, what are your plans for me? How is it I begin to order my life to honor him with this life that he has given to us? Because when we think it's up to us, when we think that all the burden of our plans and what we're going to do, our accomplishments, and we're going to somehow fill our life with our accomplishments, that this is going to make us somehow complete, that begins to just weigh upon us. Jesus said about the future, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I love this last part. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Again, that sounds kind of like a bummer too. Each day is going to have enough trouble. Don't worry about it now, because you got enough to worry about today. There is something here that he is after here to get us to see that life here is brief, that the time we have here is precious. It is not something that we are to waste. It is not something to put off things that are important until a later date. It is to live in the now with an eye towards eternity, but keeping that eye towards eternity as our guiding light so that we can continue to make the right choices as we move forward. Yeah, there's a false security that comes when we think we have got forever to do this. There is also a great sense of security that comes, not a false sense, that comes when we recognize that we may not know what the future holds, but God is the one who holds our future. Lee Strobel said that exact thing. I thought it was very profound, that we don't know what tomorrow was going to bring, but we do know who is bringing it for us. So rather than it being a panic attack because I don't know the future, most of us get into that panic and that insecurity because we don't know what's coming, and so it causes us a lot of anxiety. But what God, what James is trying to say, what Jesus tried to say, what all the Bible is beginning to show us is that if we trust God and his goodness for us, it's not going to cause anxiety, but it's going to actually put us in a place where we're not wore out by trying to accomplish our goals and our purposes. It is getting us past this pride and self-reliance, this self-determination that takes us to this next place. Okay, I want to walk through a couple things here. First off, these are some truths that we see in James 4. One, we cannot know, or we do not know, what the future holds. This might be important for us to be reminded of. We also cannot control the future. Okay, some of us, again, a lot of us are controllers. That's a hard one for us. Tomorrow was not promised to any of us. And these are important pieces for us to remember as we live our life day to day, as we honor God with the steps that we want to make moving into the future, as we pursue what God has for us rather than simply pursuing what we want for ourselves. But it also leads us to this, that the priority is in the present. That when it comes to our spiritual relationship with God, when it comes to issues that are we want to get sorted out, maybe in our family context, that there is no time like the now. And we don't need to put these things off to the day that may never come. Now is the time that we need to make sure that our hearts are right. Now is the time that those relationships need to get fixed. Now is the time that we need to begin to put back together those things which have been broken and wait for God to begin to then build upon those. And number five is this. We need to consider God's purposes for us when we are making our plans. Again, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, next year I'm going to be graduating high school. I'm going to go into a college. I know the college I'm going to. But there is something wrong if we say, and I don't care what God says. No one says that, right? But how many times do we make a decision, do we make a plan, and we say, but I'm not going to bring that to God. I'm just going to do it because it's what I want to do. James says, no, we are invited to something far greater, something that takes away the insecurity of not knowing what the future holds, but brings us to a greater place of security as we learn to trust and walk with him through it. You know, I'm going to wrap up Yes, I'll wrap this up. Because this is how James wraps up the idea. Not only do we not know what the future holds, and not only do we not need to fall for that lie that we'll have forever to get it done, but there's also a piece here that we recognize that each of us have been made as God's handiwork, and that as God's handiwork, he has made us for a purpose. That's part of how we understand what it is that God wants us to do. Ephesians 2 reminds us, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, for some of us, that's going to be a new idea. God has prepared good works for me to do. He's prepared them in advance that I haven't even got around to doing yet. How will I know what he wants me to do? It is that part of letting God direct our paths, of thinking about what God's purpose is for us as we begin to make our plans, as we seek to honor God with the life he's given us and with the future that we're moving into, whatever, however long it is, if we plan to be honoring God through it, then we're going to be doing the things that God would have us do. The last piece in verse 17 of James 4 says this, that if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and then doesn't do it, that is sin for them. Okay? And that sounds harsh again to us, but the reality is this. If we are not doing what God created us to do, then we are missing the mark. It doesn't mean we're destined for hell. It just means we are missing the mark. That God has something for each of us. He has created us as his handiwork, and given that he has prepared things for us to do in advance, before we were even born, how we begin to walk that out as an important piece of honoring God with this life he has given to us. So I want to just pray over us and ask that God would guide our steps as we open this new week, as we open this new school year, as we prepare for the future that he has for us. Father, we thank you for this gift, the gift of security of knowing. The gift of security of knowing who holds the future, even though the future is hidden from our eyes. Father, I pray that you would help us as we seek after you and as we find your next steps for us. Father, that we would honor you with the days of our lives. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of this present. We thank you even for the hope of the future and the promise that you have opened for each of us. But Father, help us in the now to use this time as you have intended it to be used by each of us. Father, I lift up the hard places and I lift up the challenges. I lift up those moments of uncertainty of not knowing which path to take. Pray, God, that you would help continue to guide our steps, that we too might all the more honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.